All right, I've got 2 o'clock. I'm going to call the meeting to order. If everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. Len, can you do the roll call?
Trustee Davis?
Here.
Trustee Doherty? Here. Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Lubai?
Here.
Great. Len, any public participation?
No, sir. No requests.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just got to say, one time after we do the Pledge of Allegiance, can we just say, go Falcons? that just inspires me to that.
You certainly can do that. We might even have the mascot come join us on that. So, before we get to the consent agenda, we are going to pull one item. It's on page 11. It's an agreement with a company called Everseal and just a few logistics that are still being worked out. So if anyone has any other item in the consent agenda they would like pulled, if not, I can have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Great. Thank you. And with that, Dr. Labasso, we will turn it over to you.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2022. And a lot has happened since, and so I got a nice list of things to kind of cover. And I'm going to start with we were going to recognize the men's soccer team and the men and women's cross country team. However, we coach is a little under the weather at the moment for soccer, so we are equally proud of all of our teams, but we have some good things also to share about our women's basketball team. So we're going to bring them in, and I'm going to just read a little bit of the highlights here, and come on in. So again, we had a great fall semester, and right now we're in the middle of basketball season. So I'm going to start with highlighting our basketball team, and right here is Tron Griffin. He's our new head coach, and Sharonda Reddick, our assistant coach, is here, and Shayla Bowie, the sophomore from Jacksonville, here to represent the women's basketball team. Tron has come here and hit the ground running, put a good team together, and they're off and running. They one of the highlights this past October, the basketball team cleaned up and enhanced the landscaping and backyard deck area of the Hope House. The Hope House provides the unoccupied youth enrolled in Volusia County Schools a safe living environment. So we're really proud of them doing the community service part of our mission, and they're off to a good year. Coach, and a few words you want to share with tell them a little bit about yourself and introduce your folks a little bit deeper than I have here.
Thank you all. Thank you for the opportunity, and good afternoon to the board. Just really excited about the opportunity and what we have going here at DSC. Obviously a wonderful place. I've been in the Volusia County area for a while. I graduated from Bethune-Cookman, two-sport athlete there. I coached at Bethune-Cookman, coached at Stetson University, have been an athletic director at Volusia County Schools. So very familiar with Daytona State and everything that it has to offer, and just really excited about what our ladies are doing, not only just carry out the mission, but also shine a good light as to what Daytona State has to offer. So the Hope House was a great endeavor for us. We were excited to do that, and community service has been one of our missions within our program. Coach Reddick, my assistant here, she comes to us. She's actually a graduate of Jacksonville University, where she's still currently the all-time leading scorer for their women's basketball team. So Coach Reddick actually had an opportunity to play professionally, and when I got the job here, she was still available. I just finished her master's from being a graduate assistant at the University of Ole Miss. So she offers a lot of experience and just a lot of dedication to our young ladies and, how we move about within the program logistically. Our sophomore here, Ms. Shayla Bowie, is in her second year here at DSC. She actually came into DSC with her AA already. So basketball is another part and a tool of what she's doing to be able to move on to the next level. She's also our team captain. In addition to graduating this spring, Shayla Bowie is also committed to go and play basketball at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is a Division I university in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So just a lot of great things happen, and we appreciate your support, and thank you for having us.
Thank you. As you can tell, I think Tron's going to provide some great leadership to the program, and I think we're going to see some really great, great things coming out of the women's basketball program. So thank you, Tron. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Congrats.
That's right. Go Falcons. It's a definite Go Falcons day today. All right. All right. Okay, so behind me we have our head coach, Judy Wilson, from the women's and men's cross-country team. And they had a phenomenal year. And if you remember, the board approved just a few years ago the starting of the cross-country teams here. I have some highlights, and then Judy, you can jump in and add to it. But they ran very strong at the Region 8 tournament. The and I have it right here. My cheat sheet has and Harley, who I've seen her out there at our 5K, where they didn't tell me the exact course, and I ended up running way earlier before the finish line. And Richard LeBron from our team, but the men's team broke the school record. An individual record in Region 8 championship run in Tallahassee. Andy Martinez broke his previous record from last year by 10 seconds by running 8,000 meters in 25:50. The men's team placed 7 runners at the top 10 to score 21 points, and 5 Falcons earned all-region honors: Martinez, Sebastian Hernandez, Aldolfo Castro, Christian Rucco, and Jadari Ayala. Hopefully I'm saying that right. The men's team made history at Richmond, Virginia, at the NJC Division II Cross Country Championships. The men's team claimed second place overall in the national championship, highest finish ever for the men's team. So we were national runner-ups. Judy, you want to grab that trophy and hoist it over your head? It's right behind you. I was talking to Randy Dye about this. I said, I never did this as an athlete, so when I walk by it, I pick it up and put it over my head, like you see on TV there. So there it is. Three runners finished in the top 15 and claimed All-American honors. Andy Martinez finished 5th place individually overall, capping his remarkable career with the Falcons, and he's already moved on to continue his academic and athletic career at FSU. Yeah, that's good job there for Andy. Great kid. Coach Wilson, comments about how inspired by the strength as she is by the strength of the group today, and had some they had some mental and physical challenges during the run, but they were determined to run for each other as a family out there, and they did a great job. All right, I'm going to move on to women's cross country, and as I said, they ran extremely well at Tallahassee as well. Harley, who's here with us today, repeated her title performance from 2020, and she ran the course in 19:37. I can't even do that in 2 miles, which was almost 40 seconds faster than her winning time in 2020. The Falcons placed 2nd overall in the region. Meet just behind Pasco Hernando. The Falcons placed 2 team members on the all-region team, including Harley. The women's team bettered their pre-race ranking going into nationals of 11 by finishing 10th in the national run. Harley Crist was the top Falcon finisher in 17th place at nationals. The Falcons also had a strong finish by freshman Juliette St. Angelo and Ayanna Fulton. So, Coach, I'm going to turn it over to you, and please share some words about this past season.
Well, I want to say that Harley ran in the mid-19s this year, but when we met her 2 years ago, was it 2 years? She ran 27 minutes in the 5K. And she had taken 6 years off of running from high school. So when she came out, we had a little workout the first day, and she struggled, but I said, just come back tomorrow, you'll be fine. So it's worked out really well for her. Working on her bachelor's degree in elementary education, and that is really interesting on the women's side, because we also have Sarah Mott, who will be coming back this fall, and she has earned her AA, her AS in nursing, and is starting on the bachelor's program of nursing in the fall. So we've been able to have her because she skipped this fall due to clinicals. So she's been making it work. We did have a great race on the men's side. We had 7 guys from the state of Florida, which I was really proud about. The winning team had 2 guys from Spain, a guy from Australia, 2 guys from Kenya. And we just went, and there's no way we should have been close to them at the beginning of the season. So it was really a great bonding opportunity for those guys. And even a visit to the Edgar Allan Poe Museum in Virginia. it was just a great season all around. So thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. It's been a great 4 years. Thanks.
And Coach, you were also recognized, I believe. Can you share that?
I've gotten Coach of the Year the last couple of years due to these guys. My coach always said, you're only as good a coach as the athletes you coach, which I totally believe. And then the Atlantic Region Coach of the Year for the guys. So
congratulations.
I don't know if I've said it before, but go Falcons.
That's right. Go Falcons. Well, thank you. And again, Judy has started the program with us and has had just a tremendous run and more to come. So thank you, Judy. Thank you. Thank you.
Need a second on that?
Yeah. So a lot to be proud of, this month as with many months. But I want to introduce now the board approved a plan I put forward a number of years ago to support a doctoral cohort. That entailed me contacting UCF president at the time to see if they would be willing, if I could generate enough interest, in hosting a doctoral program cohort right here in Daytona Beach. I had meetings with the local presidents to see if I can get their support to help promote the program here and try to, enhance our higher education institutions. So we was able to get all green lights all around. And with that, we started a doctoral cohort. And this past December, we graduated 6 Daytona State College employees with their doctorate. So I'd like to introduce them. If you would all stand up here as I call your name. We have Liz Barnes, Dr. Barnes. Dr. John Brady, Dr. Michelle Goldis, Dr. Cheryl Cohen, Dr. Jessica Lipsy, and Dr. Kristen Strikhauser. And I went through a similar program, graduated in 2006, and thought it was about time to try to bring another program back and begin to get the next phase of leadership ready. So we're really pleased there. And I don't know if you guys want to nominate a spokesperson to maybe share a few words. John, they look kind of looking your way, or and John also heads our professional development, so he was in charge of a lot of the logistics behind the program. So, and it's his birthday. There you go. So there you go.
Thanks for all coming to my birthday party.
Yeah.
it's been a pleasure. We've learned a lot, we're grateful for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun, kind of taking what we learned in the program and bringing it back to the college campus and trying to apply that work here. So. Thank you for your support. Thanks for keeping us on board, and looking forward to the future.
And John, the other higher education institutions had a few people as well in the cohort?
We finished, I think, with 16 in our cohort. There was a handful from Riddle.
One from Stetson,
one from Volusia County Public Schools, and one from UCF. There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah. So, well, again, thank you, John. And it was great to see them go through the work since we had already done it, and they'd be sweating about all the comps and this and that. So we would have some good conversations, but we're glad they have finished across the crossing line there. And I kind of use the analogy when they're in their dissertation. It's like a tennis match. You know, you hand in a couple chapters, your advisor puts a lot of red ink on it, you fix it, and you send it back. Bat it over the net and then and have it keep going back and forth. So anyway, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Just some other highlights you may have seen in the paper. We, 10 years in a row, made the top 50 of online schools from U.S. News and World Report. We moved up two levels to 35, and then we also moved up two levels as number 22 for online bachelor's degrees for veterans. So congratulations to the team that puts a lot of time. Cheryl Cohen, raise your hand there, leading our online efforts, new Dr. Cohen, see? So really, really, really pleased. It was in the paper, and we will be, you know, obviously you should see billboards and social media and stuff to, you know, get some leverage from that accomplishment. So, again, and we are the first on the list of Florida State colleges to be on that list. You know, congratulations to the staff. We also will be recognized, if you didn't see it, I thought I might have sent the email to you all, but the college was chosen to receive the J. Hyatt Brown Enterprise Award from the Chamber. So we'll be recognized on February 4th. So, again, congratulations to the team because, you know, it's a team effort to get these kinds of recognition. And also, it was in the news a little while ago where we had made the top 150 in the country for the Aspen Award Prize, and I just got a call yesterday, and I can say this right, that we are we have moved to the next phase. So we think there's 40 colleges, so we are now down to the top 40. And we'll be getting interviewed in the coming weeks on that. So we're excited about that opportunity. And then also in the paper, you may have seen Madison Miller won Volusia County Teacher of the Year, who is a Daytona State College graduate of the BS in Education program. So, again, a lot of things to be proud of. I made my run up to Tallahassee last week and had some great meetings regarding some of our initiatives, and I'm looking forward to a good legislative session. And I think I'll just stop there, and if anyone has any questions, entertain that. But other than that,
I have one.
Is my update. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I don't know if you purposely or inadvertently forgot that ERU is number one. In that,
trying to keep the spotlight on us.
But. Yeah, well, the chairman is from that university, so I just want to say congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to ERU. That's
tied for first, right?
Yeah. Florida's rising fast.
Yeah. So that concludes my update, and from there we'll go to the approval of the donation to the DSC Foundation. So. I think you're familiar with that. I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then the my final one is the looking for a motion to purchase the lot listed there on Milligan, which is in the zone that the board has indicated we should try to pursue when we can.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes.
And that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to facilities.
Good afternoon. Okay. Our first item that we have for today is our continuation of our HERF fund spending on our HVAC COVID-related projects. So we're still moving forward with a lot of work that we're taking advantage of some of the funding that we have provided for that stuff. So it includes, I wanted to point out, our DeLand campus controls upgrade. That's for the entire campus. So it's a really big thing for us to be able to do something that large using some of the funding that's been provided because of the pandemic. So so we've got a bunch of work there. So I need approval to move forward with that portion of the work.
So I'll move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Randy?
Question that's not specific,
mm-hmm.
but in general, we talk about using the COVID funds that we've gotten. I presume that we have a responsibility to use it all, or have to return some if we don't. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And the current funds, we're in the process of applying for a 1-year extension. And so far, they've been granted to on the some of the institutions have already done there. So, we're going to be applying for a 1-year extension, which is not normal for some grants because sometimes it just takes longer to execute the projects that are in motion. So if that's granted, we have until I think it'll be May of 2023.
Fair enough. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Yep.
okay, so the next
the great question is, if not granted, which I have full confidence it will be, we still have a little bit of time before the original expiration.
A few months, yep.
Okay. I thought we did. Yeah, we had already voted, and
yeah,
then Randy.
Yeah, but I was post-vote.
Okay, so the next one is for the board to grant, actually myself, the ability to permit projects for the college. That's based on Florida statute, so I need the board to move on that item as well.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. The next item is for the construction management at risk contract with the general contractor for the DeLand campus indoor firing range. We had 8 companies submit for this one. We finaled it down to 3, and the final one that was approved through the RFQ process was Charles Perry Partners, which is CBPI. And so we need to get approval to move forward with their negotiation on their contract.
Second. Motion and second. Any questions, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. And the next one is the Daytona's Common project. That is for a lot of infrastructure, sidewalk, parking lot. Here on this main campus, we did a bid process on that one, and we had 3 bidders, and the one that came out the lowest was also Charles Perry Partners, so we need approval to move forward with that project with them.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, finance.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year. Although it marks the new year for most of us in January, it's exactly the halfway point of the fiscal year for the college. So December 31st is our 50% mark. So just keep that in mind as we go through the slides. Okay. Not sure. Thank you. There we go. All right, first slide is our operating revenue budget versus actual. As you can see, we've now received $19.7 million, or 72% of our student tuition and fee revenue, $22.2 million, or 42% of our state revenues. Now, as I said, we're halfway through the fiscal year. The 42% might seem a little light. Reason being is our lottery funds don't kick in until the month of February each year. So we'll start seeing that in the coming months, and it'll kind of level off as the next board reports come through. We've received $3.5 million, or 55% of our other revenues, $1.9 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers. In total, we've now collected $47.3 million, or 53% of our operational budget of $88.5 million. Looking at the expense side, we've now expended $28.4 million, or 42% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $14 million, or 73% of our current expenses. Of that amount, $9.2 million is actual expenses, and the other $4.8 million is encumbrance that are tied to open purchase orders. We've expended $724,000, or 38% of our capital outlay budget. $304,000 of that is actual expenditures. The other $420,000 is encumbrances. So in total, we've now obligated $43.2 million, or 49% of our $88.5 million budget. So 50% through the year, we're right on target from an expense standpoint and really from the revenue standpoint as well. This slide, we always show our carry forward funds for our operating fund, Fund 1 balance. We started the year with $14.9 million. Of that, $5.2 million is our 5% state required reserve. $2.4 million is the board designated reserve. $7 million of it is the unallocated reserves. And then another $205,000 of encumbrances that rolled over last year. So our net projected fund balance as of this report through December is $13.5 million. And next, we have our comparison of our actual revenues versus the budget. As you can see, 53% of the revenue has been collected compared to budget. Last year, at the same point in time, it was 56%, very consistent. Okay, we always show the three-year analysis of our tuition, student tuition and fees. We're still down some as compared to last year. However, maybe a little point of good news is that in the spring, it seems like we're leveling off from an enrollment standpoint. I want to say we're down maybe about 1% in fee-paying students as of today when I last looked. So it's really a good sign and hopefully a trend in what we see coming in the future. So if you look at a couple of the highlights, in-state tuition is down about 2.1% compared to last year at the same point in time through December. The other categories are holding steady compared to last year. And then in total, the $19.7 million, that's down about $700,000 or 3.4% compared to last year. So overall, we're hanging in there from a year-to-year comparison. Hopefully Spring B will also do well, and we'll maybe see an uptick in the summer. Okay, now looking at the expense budget versus actual year over year, 42% of our personnel budget compared to 41% was expended at the same point in time. 73% obligated this year versus 65% of our current expense budget, and 38% of our capital outlay budget is obligated versus 46% last year. Okay, moving over to our Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. This slide gives the overall picture of our major funding sources and the activity through December 31st. And this is the recap. So we started the year with a $45.4 million fund balance. We've brought in an additional $5.2 million so far. We've expended $7.8 million. Of that, $6.6 million is true expenditures. The other $1.1 million is encumbrances that are tied to open purchase orders as well. And that leaves us with a $42.8 million fund balance as of December 31st. Of this balance, $18.5 million is committed to date, and the remaining $24.3 million is uncommitted. The major projects we have in progress currently are 8 major projects with a budget of estimated at $33.7 million. I don't believe there's been any changes since the last report. So the same 8 projects: the multipurpose field, Daytona campus infrastructure improvements, Flagler Palm Coast Building 1 remodel and parking lot mainly. High voltage upgrade, IT Cisco phones replacement, and the security cameras, DVR replacements, Deltona classroom that we had the workshop on, and the ERP, which is mainly just consulting at this point. And that concludes the financial report through December, unless we have any questions or comments.
One question.
Yes, sir.
Well, you showed that the funds, you know, we are off and hoping the spring. Is that a culmination of the COVID and stuff like that while we were down?
The tuition and fee? We think the pandemic has a big part of why we're down. Yes, sir.
But you should just asterisk that and let everybody know that was, you know, mainly the cause why we were down. It wasn't any other hiccups that we had.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was going to comment that there was a survey out and for spring enrollment, and as Marty mentioned, we're down about 1%, but most of the schools that I saw were reporting a 7-10% decline in enrollment. So we're faring, you know, and this is a national issue that's happening. But I think, you know, I think why we're only down 1% is, you know, I think we've been pretty proactive in trying to get as much as we can back to normal, and I think that's helping us out. And hopefully we'll start to see that turn. As Marty said, it's at least it's not in that, you know, -6-8% that some of the schools are still experiencing. You know, we had a big dip last year, but and related, I didn't mention updates that on the student residence hall is on time in budget, and we've received, I think the last number I saw was 325 applications, and if you remember, we only have 252 beds. So and there'll be some, you know, melt. We're asking for a deposit deadline coming up soon, but we haven't really hit our peak fall applications yet. So just wanted to give you a quick update on that. So that's looking good in terms of student interest for fall. And we've also, on that note too, have had some, we have a grant application for Upward Bound that if we're granted, we'll have a component of a residence where the students will have to live on the campus in the summer for a few weeks. And then we've also had some interest from the Hungarian consulate's office, I guess. I can't remember the organization, where they might want to have some English language instruction in the summer, which would have a residential component to it. So there'll be other revenues coming in on, you know, for camps and things like that in the summer. So.
Okay. My second item is for informational purposes. We always bring payments that are individually over $50,000 each. This particular meeting has both November and December. So again, just for board information. And that concludes my time. Thank you.
Should point out that Howard Industries is no relation to me. I noticed the check as it went by.
Good point. Thank you.
All right. Academic.
Good afternoon. We have in from Academic Affairs two items for which we would ask approval and two information items. The first is a major program revision in the AS nursing program. This is combining two courses into one based on student feedback and the faculty discussion about the best way to deliver this part of the curriculum. No change in program length. We ask for your approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. The second one is approval of major course revisions among the dance courses. We've cleaned up some titles of the dance classes. They were a little confusing, so made it a little more straightforward. Ballet 1, Ballet 2, Jazz 1, Jazz 2, etc. And created a new introduction to dance course, hoping to bring students into this study by the more general survey course. We ask for your approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thank you. The next item is the cost of textbooks and instructional materials that we bring you before each semester. This is for spring 22, and I'll be glad to take any questions. It is an information item.
Questions? All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, just a comment.
Yes.
Just want to again thank the staff because we gave you a challenge for trying to keep the textbooks, and each time you come, the Lord, and more courses are using the textbooks more than for just one course. So I know it's a challenge, and you've met the challenge. Just
thank you. It's the faculty that have done this. They've really become great scrutinizers of what the publishers offer, and you have to dig a little bit to figure out the best way to do it, and they have really risen to that challenge. So thank you on their behalf.
And I know our students appreciate that cost.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think they do. The last item is just an information item, but it had quite an impact on a number of our AS programs due to some legislation passed in 2021. Two things happened. One, all the AS programs, baccalaureate and AA students, will now need to take a course, one of two courses, a political science survey course or an American History 2 course, and pass an exam, a civics literacy exam, not in the class, a separate exam, in order to graduate. And so we had to go back in and add these classes into the curriculum for the AS degrees. So, and then additionally, they changed the general ed core curriculum requirements in the AS degree to include one course from each of five areas. That had not been a requirement in the past. As a result, we adjusted all 36 Associate of Science degrees to include the civic literacy course and 21 to include an additional course in the gen ed core. And I'll be glad to take any questions, just to let you know.
Any questions?
What was the impact on the cost of the overall cost? Did it go up by the amount of the additional classes?
No, we swapped out a class. Instead, so a lot of programs will no longer have speech, for example, because they had to add in a science in lieu. And then usually for the civic literacy course, we're swapping out a course like psychology and putting instead government or history. So it has not impacted any program length.
Which is kind of the same thing, psychology and government. And
Go Falcons.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, enrollment management.
Couldn't help myself.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year. New for 2022, I present, like I do every January, the academic calendar. This year, though, we're going to do 2 years in a row instead of standard one. In consultation with Dr. Labasso, we talked about by approving this additional year, that will help financial aid, registration, be able to plan even farther in advance for setting up the aid years and things of that nature. It'll help us out greatly. And then in next January, I'll bring 24-25 so we can always stay a year ahead. You can see the critical dates on there. Fall 2022, classes will begin August 29th. Spring 2023, classes will begin January 17th, and then the commencement date is proposed there too. And then we also have the dates for 22-23-24. So I present this to you for your approval. If there's any questions?
A motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Go Falcons.
I've been waiting for somebody.
Tom, constituent heads?
Yes. Okay. First up is Adrian Tolles-Williams for our Student Government Association. We had a busy day out in the lawn today. Yes, stay dry.
Glasses and the mask always get me. Good afternoon, everyone. So the mission of the Student Government Association establishes us to serve the diverse student body of Daytona State College as the liaisons between students and administration, but also as leaders, as role models, and as peers. For more than 60 years, and for long after all of our tenures here at Daytona State, the student government, much like the Board of Trustees, will exist to support and serve the future of Daytona State College. Our choices and our actions, they all make the example that future generations will follow and will pave their way in the future. That's something I have always believed, and it's a belief that has been continually reinforced for me since enrolling here and the more I've gotten involved on campus. The objectives and the projects that we have in store for SGA this spring, I think, will proudly honor that mission, and I would just like to give you a sneak peek of what that will look like, first beginning with our main objectives. So as many of you may know, I joined SGA as the president in the midst of the pandemic. So there was a big power vacuum in student life as a department where we were trying to figure out what the right way to do things were and how to do it in an effective way. So one of the big objectives for us this year is establishing a organizational system within the organization that will be adaptable and readily available to future boards. That way, when the new year begins and we have a new board taking our place, they'll have a system already in place to log office hours, to hit the ground running, and to be more effective and more efficient in the future. We have been exploring different technologies and different ways to connect with students on our branch campuses, whether that be adapting our meeting styles. We've started meeting on Microsoft Teams and are looking into a meeting owl so that we can have our weekly meetings and include all the members of our branch campuses that maybe can't travel to Daytona every week or have classes at 3 p.m. and need to watch the recording after. This way we can include more voices in the student government and more accurately represent the student body here. And then probably one of the most important objectives, in my opinion, we are trying to actively reflect on the decisions and choices and projects that we had in the fall. And as we're learning from them, making sure to apply those lessons going forward, whether that be adjusting how we log our time in the office, the way we advertise for the events that we do, and the way that we carry ourselves as representatives for the college. So in terms of our major projects for the year, coming up pretty soon, we will be going to Melbourne, Florida for our first leadership conference of the semester with the FCS SGA. I'm really excited for this. These usually include seminars that help promote some of the different leadership skills that SGA tries to emulate and promote within our students and within our student body. Then we'll also have a year-end conference in April that's currently scheduled to be at Daytona State. And as we learn more about that, we're looking forward to hosting other FCS SGA members here and showing them the pride of Daytona State. I'll go ahead and throw that Go Falcons in there for Mr. Dyes. So we are collaborating with Student Life more. One example was today with the Welcome Back events, and we'll be looking to add educational aspects to all the different events that we'll be working with them with, whether that be Sexual Responsibility Day or Earth Day or any of our Black History Day, Irish History Day, and just finding some way to add an academic and educational value for our students to enjoy. With other departments like academic advising, we'll be looking to do academic advising sessions like we did last semester, potentially meeting with some of our new students and collaborating with admissions to go to local high schools to kind of discuss with the seniors there about all the opportunities at Daytona State and all the ways they can get involved and build their resumes for their future careers. Beyond that, we have a club banquet every year. We are currently looking for members of different clubs and organizations to plan a subcommittee. That way we can all be involved in planning a way for all our clubs and organizations to come together at the conclusion of the spring to kind of celebrate all our hard work. I can't give you too many concrete details at the moment because we're still early in the planning phase, but I'm hoping that this will be a good way for all of our clubs to be able to come together and kind of exhibit all of their hard work for the semester. And like I said earlier, just trying to make sure we're promoting like good characteristics and good traits among our students, like promoting climate activism through our Earth Day contributions and promoting civic awareness and political participation through our elections campaigns, which will be going on through this semester. And then finally, the lessons. SGA is geared around creating leaders and building on the skills that will make us successful in our academics, in our personal relationships, and in our careers going forward. So whether it be the task management and responsibility in an organization that requires like planning events, or it's the communication skills that you need to be able to walk up to a student or a faculty member that you don't know and say, hey, I need help with this. I have this vision and I want to create it. That is the skills that we are trying to make sure we're building within ourselves at the SGA and promoting with our classmates and our peers, and trying to make sure that we are a proud example of the Daytona State College. So this is just a few of the skills that I have definitely noticed that we've like learned and we've gained since starting here in the, I started a couple springs ago, but starting as president last fall. And then these are also the skills that I'm going to continually try to make apparent and build upon. That way, through this semester, you'll hopefully see a lot of growth coming from the Student Government Association. And so that being said, thank you for your time. And one more time, go Falcons.
All right. Thank you.
Excellent report. I know, yeah, definitely. It's a great day to be a Falcon. Great, great report, Adrian. Thank you. All right, I have a report from Administrators Council from Frank Mercer for Alicia Alexandra, 4, 4, and 4. So the Administrators Council reports that they joined the college community in wishing the best for Council President Alicia Alexander as she begins her maternity leave. Congratulations, Alicia. The council participated in the recent United Way campaign and celebrates that the college exceeded its goal. The council awarded certificates of appreciation to Neil Clemens, Kristen Hansen, Coach Judy Wilson, and Campus Safety for their support of the council's 5K run walk as part of the college's homecoming festivities. The council scholarship fund stands at almost $8,000 and is exploring ways to best invest the funds for our students. The council continues to explore opportunities for a community service project for council members this spring. And with that, I'm going to read another report from Samantha on Career Employees Association, which reads that the CEA is currently seeking individuals to offer positions, and as of right now, we have 3 positions filled, and those are the CEA VP, CEA Secretary, and the CEA Treasurer, and we have not gotten anyone to step up yet for the new CEA President. Work to be continued. And we will move on to Faculty Senate and Paul Capps. There he is. I didn't see you hiding there the whole time.
Good afternoon. As you know, I've the last several months I've presented a featured faculty member. I don't have one this month. This month, I teach mathematics, but I'm here today to express emotion, not teach math. Right. I want to extend on what Dr. Labasso's theme today, pride. We are proud. I am proud of our faculty and the things that we have done over the last 2 years. We have adapted. We have innovated. We have empathized. We have accommodated, but we have not compromised our academic integrity. Mm-hmm. We're still strong. And you can see that sometimes very brightly when we are continuously listed amongst the top 50 colleges in online studies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't see it. You might not see it if you looked at our passing rates today. The numbers kind of look like we're holding steady. But think about what it means to kind of hold steady with everything that we've had to do, with everything our students are going through. Our students are going bouts of COVID, the loss of family, loss of income, homeless, moving. They have been really challenged, and the faculty has been challenged to do everything we can to help them still succeed. So it doesn't always show, but the work's there, and I'm tremendously proud of them. And then the second emotion today for me is gratitude, because none of this happens without support. It doesn't happen without the leadership of Dr. Locklear. It doesn't happen without some of the best technology anywhere. Thank you, Board of Trustees, for all of your efforts in terms of the funding that it happens. Thank you, Roberto Lombardo, for directing and making sure everything goes and works, and we have what we need. And you allow me and other faculty members to sit on TAB, the Technology Advisory Board, and we get to input, hey, we need this. And he listens. It doesn't happen without massive amounts of professional development. Thank you, Dr. James Brady, who directs it and generates it and does a magnificent job. It doesn't happen without tons of faculty innovation. Dr. Cheryl Cohen, director of the Faculty Innovation Center. It doesn't happen without Bill Harrison, who's not here, but he is our, give me his title, Sharon.
Director of Instructional Resources.
Thank you, sorry, my brain freezed up. I didn't do a slideshow, I'm sorry, I didn't even make notes, so I apologize. We really need to work out that she goes last all the time. I'm not supposed to follow. It doesn't happen without the Academic Support Center, whose chair, Dr. Liz Barnes, had to leave for an important matter, who is also, she's not a member of the administration or support staff. She's a faculty member, as a matter of fact. She is my Faculty Senate Vice President. And boy, she really should have been the Faculty Senate President, but she just wanted somebody else to kind of take the spotlight and do it instead. Without her institutional knowledge, without her organizational skills, without her just can-do, super positive attitude, we don't get done what we need to get done either. So lots and lots of gratitude for lots and lots of great folks. And I just feel compelled to say, because nobody else has said it today, go Falcons.
Thank you. And for professional counsel, we have Billy Joe Dunaway.
Last but not least.
No, never least.
Gee, everybody else got to say nice things about people, so I'm going to put on a slightly different hat and say nice things, too. Adrian is, like, top-notch, right? What a special person to run our SGA. She works at the Writing Center. Dr. Strickhauser also runs our Writing Center. Dr. Lipsy runs the WACWID program, which runs out of our Writing Center. That's where I work. So you want to see where leadership is built here? In the Writing Center.
There you go.
Okay. So let me put on my professional counsel hat now and tell you the things that we're doing. In December, we had a really nice, just casual trivia kind of game. Inaris Inman, he was our ultimate trivia winner, winning our Amazon gift card for her then. Aaron Sunday, also terrific, put together that whole program for us. Really nice. We have reflected on this year and the successes of last semester. We were grateful to see the return of our door decorating contest for homecoming. It's nice to see those things come back to the campus. We thank executive staff for recognizing some of the outstanding professionals that we have here, like Angela Gonzalez, who works for TRIO, Carolyn Nealon, who works at the News Journal Center, Judith Day, who works for the IT Help Desk. These are professionals who have really put forth effort for the college. We're going to keep our Spotlight Award, so we're working on nominating new Spotlight people. If you saw, if you see the TVs around campus, we always put them up. So Octavia Mulberry, who's an academic advisor, is our current Spotlight employee, and we're going to be continuing to work on that and build new activities for the new year. And that's all. Any questions?
Go Falcons.
Go Falcons.
That's it. Thank you. You know, I do, if I, before I turn, I would want to share, I'm not sure if the board members were all here, but we lost the former vice president of student development, Mike Elam. Fortunately, passed away yesterday. He had worked, he was the vice president when I was first hired here. Great man. He was currently the president at Halifax Community College, North Carolina. And unfortunately, we lost him yesterday. So thoughts and prayers to the Elam family. He great kids. The kids are still in this community. Both worked here at one point, and I think one's working for the county. And I'm not sure where his daughter's working at right now. But thoughts and prayers to the Elam family. Great man, and he will be missed. But back to you, Chair.
Thank you. Just first off, all great constituent reports. It's always nice to hear what's going on, and from the Faculty Senate perspective, it is amazing what you guys have accomplished, what the institution has accomplished in the midst of it all. And, you know, no further proof than hearing the student, you know, government report and that what we're doing is working. So appreciate all that everybody does, faculty, staff, professional, you name it. Everybody plays some important role in making the machine work and do what it's supposed to do. And that is provide a better, you know, education and a better way of life to change people and generations to come. So I appreciate all that. I'm just going to talk about one real quick thing. I participated earlier this month in the Florida College Association trustees meeting, and it was really focused on the legislative session. And they had, you know, the commissioner spoke, lobbyists spoke, the staff spoke, but it was actually it was an hour meeting, but a lot of great information. They're supposed to be getting us a one-page fact sheet because it was really impressive when you heard things like what percentage of nurses, as an example, come from the Florida college system as opposed to, say, the university system. It's a tremendous driver of economic activity in the state in areas that are important to the state. So hopefully that'll come out, and it'd be great if we passed it on to all the trustees. So if you're ever talking to a legislator, in addition to touting something that's specific to Daytona State, you can also mention just the value of the state college system to the state of Florida. Just a few takeaways that I thought I'd pass on. Their message this year to the legislators is strengthen, renew, and reinvest. You know, we've held the line on tuition increases for many, many years. The state has had an incredible swing in surplus from a deficit in the $2.5 billion range to a surplus in the $7 billion range. That's a $10 billion swing in a short period. So what they're basically saying is that this is a time to strengthen, renew, and reinvest in the Florida college system, which provides such a boost to the local economies and to, you know, residents across the state of Florida. Their priorities are program funds, and, you know, Tom and I have spoken that of all their priorities, that's probably the one that we would lean towards as incredibly important, because that's what we need to invest in the programs of the colleges, especially as you try to keep tuition at an affordable rate. So they're asking for more program funds, PICO funds, which, geez, we haven't had in forever, a long time. It was a fascinating strategy. They said the overall need for PICO funds was probably in the $300 million range, and they're asking for $40 million. I kind of couldn't put the math together, but I think I would have aimed higher and then fallen back lower. But PICO funds, more funding for industry certifications. We do a lot of that here. And then more funding for performance-based funding. So, but the key takeaway was how important grassroots is. So, you know, they're doing lobbying on behalf of the system. But what really makes a difference is when you pick up the phone and call your local legislator, or when you see them at the grocery store, or when you see them at the chamber event, or when you see them at whatever event it is you might be at. So I would just ask each of you, if you have the opportunity, to maybe mention one of the things that's very important to the Florida college system as a whole. You pick one program funding, PICO funds, and then obviously pick one or two of the priorities of Daytona State College, and let them know how important that is to the local area, because that's who they listen to. And with that, I will turn it over to my compatriots here and Vice Chair Holness. Betty?
Happy New Year, everyone. And as Wendy said, go Falcons. We'll start with that. It was really nice, as always, to see our athletes, and thanks so much for bringing them in and giving us a chance to celebrate them and what they're doing for the college. And I really am excited about the Daytona campus. They have done a wonderful job listening to us and the changes that we've made, and that's really going to add, I think, so much to that area. But, and again, with our faculty, and as I mentioned about our textbooks, Gary, thank you for spearheading that. And it's not easy. But again, we thank the faculty for making trying to and working hard and bringing the price down each year. And as you said, too, our numbers, we're down only about 1% of our students. And when I go to meetings and here at the colleges, they're 10 and 12% with their student enrollment down. And we've been able to keep our tuition down, too. So as we said again, our students are the most important thing for us. And with our faculty and staff, communicating to them that you are important, we appreciate you if we don't say it. We value each of you, and thank you so much for your leadership.
Thank you, Bob.
I would like to thank everybody that participated this Saturday in a frigid, windy, rainy, miserable day, our 29th golf tournament to raise funds for Daytona State College students and Bethune-Cookman Hospitality culinary students. It was a full field. It was cold as could be. Daytona State, Daytona State College Foundation, Bethune-Cookman, and Emory Riddle all played in this tournament. And in the tournament, it's our 29th year. And we also have a side tournament for the colleges. And Bethune-Cookman took the trophy from Daytona State this year. But it's out there, and I can't appreciate all the great contributions, especially the players. The number one was the Plaza Resort at $3,500. And surprisingly, Senator Wright kept sending me money for the colleges. And so I just appreciate everybody coming out. It was a long day, but a great day. We gave out 70 three-day, two-night gift certificates, which was three-quarters of the entire field. The big prize was a seven-day diamond resort anywhere in the United States, three-bedroom condominium and the Caribbean, and nobody picked it up. So in 30 days, I may have to raffle it off again for more funds. Thank you.
And I was the only one that showed up in shorts. I'm like, I'm from Pennsylvania. What are you guys worried about?
Sarah?
So I wanted to recognize Wendy Samuels, who is working with the FAME students. They finished their first semester, and they gave their presentations to the employers. And Wendy has held those kids, who actually became men in a few short months, together through COVID, through new classes, through math class and everything else, and learning their employers. But I went into the presentations and watched them. Those kids did an excellent job, and just in those few months have come so far. And I give she and Dante a lot of credit for making this happen. And so FAME's next round is going to start. And if you have any students who are graduating high school and want to work part-time and go to school part-time, then that's the program.
And for skilled trade. Maybe we can get them here, to recognize them.
They're doing so good.
Randy?
So Should I do it? No. honestly, it's easy, right? It's easy to be a fan here. And you, when you hear the kind of reports that we heard and the success that we're achieving, and I particularly liked the math assessment where it was not figures but emotion and passion and, you know, should be proud of accomplishment in the face of the adversities and the challenges that have been out there. So, you know, I think it's Go Falcons should be really shifted to watch the Falcons go. So thank you.
Randy. Lloyd?
Get a sip of water here first.
Just to make sure that Go Falcons is loud enough, right?
Again, what a tremendous institution this is. And I had an opportunity with Dr. Labasso to tour the new housing facilities on Monday. And it's fantastic. It's not finished, but it's fantastic. And I understand you have over 300 applications for 250 beds, right? But you know, the things that are being done at this college, you just can't overemphasize. I mean, the camaraderie and the unity among, and I have a little quote that I will say, you know, no mission or task is so important that students shouldn't be considered first. And that's what you do here. And I just enjoy coming to the meetings and sitting and hearing all the wonderful things. And again, to all the faculty, staff, and everybody that works here, kudos to them because they have gone above and beyond to make sure that this institution continues to chug down the tracks. Thank you so much.
Bob?
So first, Happy New Year. You know, starting out, we have a lot of ambitious goals, and hopefully everybody has shared those with Dr. Labasso and making sure that he knows, President Tom knows what we have up our sleeves and what we want to do both short-term and long-term for this great institution. I also want to reemphasize give a big shout out for the J. Hyatt Brown Enterprise Award being given to Daytona State College. That is significant. It's never been awarded to Daytona State College in its history. And in part of, you know, recognizing Daytona State College for that award, it talks about the contributions to the local business community. And, you know, it's a shame that it wasn't awarded many, many years ago. And when you think about the economic impact of this institution, it is significant, and it's a significant award. So February 4th, that's a Friday, is the Chamber annual dinner. And if you don't have tickets, you should find a way in. So it'll be a good one. We should all be.
You know somebody?
I do, yes. So the other thing I wanted to mention, and I mentioned this at our holiday gathering, but the significance of Daytona State College hosting the Mary McLeod Bethune statue through December and at the News Journal Center, and what a magnificent historic event that was. No other state has, except for Arizona, very shortly had a one of their statues there before shipping it off to Washington, D.C. But to make it available for the public, for our state, for our country, at Daytona State College's News Journal Center for that period of time was historic and significant, and 16,000 visitors, over 16,000 visitors. So, and again, not just from Central Florida, not just from Daytona Beach, but from all over the country. We had people fly in specifically to go and see it while it was in Daytona Beach. And as of this point in time, we don't know if any public will be able to see it in Washington, D.C., because it's still on lockdown. The Capitol is still inaccessible to the public. And so a unique opportunity
Carolyn Nealon, big shout out to her for all that she did, in addition to her day job, to make sure that that exhibit was there and safe and accessible to the public. And then lastly, go Falcons.
Gary.
It was 2014 when I first came on this board, and I was fortunate enough to work with somebody at that time who was attending Daytona State College. And she was the one that really brought to light about the textbooks. And Betty, when you talked about that, I started thinking about it, and I'd have to ask Amy to do some research, but I think about the effort that Amy and the faculty here has put into trying to find creative ways to reduce the cost of textbooks. And it's got to be pretty significant from 2014 to now, I think, on a percentage basis, that we've reduced that. And especially when you look at it as affordable of a college education as we provide here. But if you couple that with reducing the cost of textbooks, think about the way we've been able to keep tuition flat and reduce some of these other additional costs to our students is so critical. And all the credit goes to the staff and the leadership here at the college. So thank you for that. Deltona, that was really a phenomenal, exciting presentation, I think, in a lot of ways, seeing that building and how creative and how we're using the space and utilizing things there. So that's exciting. The recognition that we gave to the women's basketball, Tron and his team, and along with the cross-country team, you know, great job there. And then finally, the online rankings. When I was reading that, and every time I get these press releases, I saw the article in the paper, but then also, too, I get these press releases, and I've always got it automatically on forward to John Walsh at The Observer. And then I've got the other one going to David Ayers, president of Flagler Broadcasting. And so I'm shooting that to them. And then, of course, I copy Greg Blase, who's head of our chamber for the Palm Coast Flagler Regional Chamber of Commerce. But when you take a look at that and the fact that we're number one out of all the state colleges here, and kudos to Emory Riddle and University of Florida, and I'm looking at all the ones from 1 through 34, but I got a feeling there's no state colleges in 1 through 34 from any state. And we're 35 in the nation at Daytona State. That's a phenomenal accomplishment. And so with that, I will, in dedication to Randy Dye, I will ask everybody, all on the count of three, one, two, three, go Falcons!
All righty, well, thanks so much, everyone. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. We'll see you again next time, and go Falcons.